You're listening to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast, where we teach you everything you need to know about adopting a plant-based diet, full or part-time. Our goal is to empower you to live a long and healthy life. You can find today's show at ordinaryvegan.net or on iTunes. If you have any questions, please send an email to questions at ordinaryvegan.net.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the Ordinary Vegan Podcast. Number 42. Thank you so much for being here. You have no idea how much it means to me that you take time from your busy day to be here with me. If we haven't met, my name is Nancy Montori, and I advocate a healthy, whole foods, plant-based diet for health and longevity, for the planet, and for animal welfare. Today's podcast is inspired by some recent events. One was a conversation I had with one of my best friends. She lives on a large plot of land, which she calls the farm, and she told me she uses Roundup everywhere to handle weeds. I must admit I was shocked. She said she tried the organic weed killer and it didn't work. I asked her if she was familiar with the herbicide glyphosate, which is in Roundup, and she said no. Well, obviously, she does know about it now. And I'm not going to talk about glyphosate today because I did an entire podcast about it. But there are hundreds of lawsuits against Monsanto, the owner of Roundup, by cancer survivors or families of those who died of cancer, which they blame on the chemical glyphosate. Just this past July, a judge found that there was sufficient evidence for a jury to hear the case. This decision followed years of hearings about the science surrounding the safety of the chemical glyphosate. And science convinced that judge to allow these lawsuits. To learn more about glyphosate, listen to podcast number 12, on how glyphosate can affect your health. The other event was a young, healthy friend of mine has been stricken with sudden onset of autoimmune disease and is being told she probably has to live with it for the rest of her life. Of course, as soon as she told me, I researched and studied everything I could find out about autoimmune disease, and I discovered many toxic materials that could contribute to autoimmune disease, and we'll talk about those. My last inspiration was a book. I just finished reading a memoir called Sick, S-I-C-K, by a young woman named Purokista Kakbort, and please forgive me if the pronunciation is wrong. But the book is about a mysterious illness that young woman suffered for many, many years before it was diagnosed. It is a brutally honest, scary, and brave story about undiagnosed chronic illness and the struggle for the right treatment. I highly recommend it, especially if you've been living with an undiagnosed chronic illness. At any rate, all of those experiences combined inspired me to get to work and try to figure out why healthy people get sick. And what I discovered is that health and wellness is not simply about diet and exercise, but also about limiting your exposure to toxic chemicals. Because toxic chemicals can pose a wide range of health problems. And my goal today is to unveil some of these common chemicals so you can avoid them and reduce your risk of harmful health problems that they can cause. I know many people who suffer from allergies and undiagnosed health problems, and perhaps it is because we are unknowingly harming ourselves with some of these common everyday chemicals lurking in our households. First off, what is a toxic substance? It's pretty simple. A toxic substance is a substance that can be poisonous or cause health problems. not something you expect to find in your household, but unfortunately products that we use daily, such as household cleaners, prescriptions, and over-the-counter drugs, gasoline, alcohol, pesticides, soaps, perfumes, and all kinds of cosmetics can be toxic. And there are so many ways to be exposed. Inhalation, ingestion, and direct contact with the skin can allow the substances to enter the body. Different chemicals cause different effects. One chemical may cause nausea and vomiting, but another chemical could cause cancer after repeated exposure to it. And everyone's body is different, and people have different sensitivity to chemicals. So one person may not be affected by it, but another person's body can't break down or eliminate certain chemicals, and they get sick from them. If you have allergies, it might not be because of pollen. You could have chemical sensitivity called MCS, and that is when your immune system overreacts to chemicals that may be harmless in others. For the past two decades, toxic chemicals has been added to everything from makeup to household cleaning supplies, clothing, pots, pans, toys, building materials, mattresses, and even perfume. During my research for this podcast, the first thing I was surprised to learn is that there's no federal regulation in household products. Ingredients in household cleaning supplies do not need to meet any sort of safety standard, nor is there any testing data or notification required before a company brings a new product to market. There are voluntary agreements negotiated by the Environmental Protection Agency. And U.S. companies work on measures to eliminate some of these toxic chemicals from their products, but there is still a lot of confusion about exactly what can make us sick. And scientific studies are now showing us that chemicals found in a wide array of household goods are more toxic than we thought. Unfortunately, there are so many, and today I will focus on some that are quite common and alarming. I will put a list together and post it in this week's show notes. What I'm hoping is you will do is print that list, and whenever you are considering a new mattress or buying some household cleaning supplies, you will check the list and make sure what you are buying isn't harming you or your family. So let's get started. The most common place for harmful chemicals to lurk is in conventional cleaning products. As I mentioned before, cleaning products are not food, beverages, or drugs, and they aren't regulated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. However, makers are required by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, also known as the EPA, to list ingredients that are active disinfectants or potentially harmful. Manufacturers of cleaning products argue that in small amounts, these toxic ingredients aren't likely to cause a problem. But you may be overly sensitive to these chemicals. Also, many cleaning product makers keep most of their ingredients secret. But if they are not telling you what is in it, don't buy it. Try to find safer alternatives. Look for green-friendly brands. You can usually find these products in natural food markets such as Whole Foods. Now let's break down the chemicals to avoid and the worst toxic offenders. First up is phthalate, spelled P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. In a nutshell, phthalate is a softener for plastics, and it's found in many household products, such as air fresheners or dish soap, perfume, hairspray, shampoo, nail polish, and skin moisturizers, and even toilet paper. Phthalates is used in cosmetics like nail polishes to reduce cracking by making them less brittle. They use them in hairsprays to avoid stiffness by allowing them to form a flexible film on the hair, and as a solvent in fragrances. Companies don't have to disclose what's in their scents, so you won't find phthalates on a label. But if it has a fragrance, there is a very good chance phthalates are present. Phthalates are also used to soften and increase the flexibility of plastic and vinyl. You can find them in plastic or vinyl toys, shower curtains, mini blinds, wallpaper, and even some medical devices. Phthalates are also used in detergents, adhesives, lubricants, and building materials like wood and vinyl. Children can be exposed to phthalates by chewing on soft vinyl toys, teething rings, or other products made with them. A federal law took effect in 2009, banning 6 different phthalates in toys and other kids' products. But phthalates can still be found in clothes. Even meats, cheeses, and other dairy products can contain high levels of phthalates. In a 2017 study, phthalates were detected in nearly every cheese product tested. And they were 4 times higher in macaroni and cheese powder, you know, found in those instant mac and cheese products. DEHP, the most widely restricted phthalate, was found more often and at a much higher concentration than any other phthalate. If you're wondering how these chemicals widely used in plastics, rubber, and fragrances end up in cheese, here is why. Phthalates migrate into food products during processing, packaging, and preparation. Although not intentionally added to food, phthalates are indirect food additives when they escape from food contact material. Phthalates tend to be found at higher levels in highly processed or fatty food. The Food and Drug Administration here in the United States has not banned phthalates in foods, even though a 2014 report from the Consumer Product Safety Commission urged federal agencies to assess the risk because of the numerous studies that showed that the chemical phthalate can disrupt male hormones like testosterone, and it has been linked to genital birth defects in infant boys, and learning and behavior problems in older children. They also cited the risk to pregnant women. So the main reason you want to avoid exposure to phthalates is because they are known endocrine disruptors, meaning they can interfere with the production or activity of hormones. And the human endocrine system is responsible for controlling and coordinating many body functions, including the pancreas, the thyroid, the adrenal, and male and female reproductive glands. According to a 2003 study conducted by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it showed that men with higher phthalate compounds in their blood had correspondingly reduced sperm counts. In 2016, another study was done with over 2,700 subjects, and they found that elevated concentrations of urinary phthalates were found to be associated with a higher risk of metabolic syndrome, which can cause abnormalities of blood pressure, blood sugar, cholesterol, and put you at a higher risk of diabetes or heart disease. There is concern over the potential for phthalate exposure in pregnant women because it may affect their child's growth and development. A 2016 study reported that phthalate exposure can affect penis size. Another study found high amounts of phthalates in fast food with high fat. Those who ate the most fast food had the highest levels of phthalates in their bodies. If you are pregnant, be very careful with scented soaps, sunscreen, and creams. Unlike the digestive system, the skin has no safeguards against toxins, and absorbed chemicals can go straight to the organs. Also, be very careful about the makeup you use and make sure it is phthalate-free. If you want to avoid or limit your exposure to phthalate, choose fragrance-free or all-natural organic products. Avoid aerosol sprays like dry shampoo, aftershave lotions, perfumes, and air fresheners. Only purchase natural fragrances. Look for words like non-synthetic fragrance or made with essential oils. These will not contain phthalates. You can also check out the Environmental Working Group Skin Database. That's EWG.org. I will put a link in this week's show notes. This is a great resource to help you figure out what is safe to use on your body, and they now have EWG verified products to ensure you avoid toxic chemicals. Here is what the FDA has to say about phthalate. Under the law, cosmetic products and ingredients, with the exception of color additives, are not subject to FDA approval before they go to market. FDA can take action against unsafe cosmetics that are on the market, but only if we have dependable scientific evidence showing that a product or ingredient is unsafe for consumers under labeled or customary conditions of use. At the present time, FDA does not have evidence that phthalates used in cosmetics pose a safety risk. If we determine that a health hazard exists, we will advise the industry and the public. So, we have to look out for ourselves here. The FDA does have a list of cosmetics with phthalate amounts on their website, and I will publish that link in this week's show notes. Remember, when buying personal care items, read the labels carefully. And when in doubt, reach out to the company online. Companies are usually very good about answering questions from consumers. And very important, if you are considering doing a remodel, make sure you get a list of what's being installed in your home. Research suggests that there is an association between PVC flooring, which has phthalate, and the development of bronchial obstruction in children. Avoid phthalates in household items like laundry detergent. Look for that wording that says specifically phthalate-free, and if it has the word synthetic fragrance, that means it has phthalates. So read labels and support companies committed to producing phthalate-free products. The next toxic chemical is called perchloroethylene, or PERC. You can find these chemicals in dry cleaning solutions, carpet and upholstery cleaners, and spot removers. It is also lurking in some paint removers, aerosol products, adhesives, leather treatments, shoe polish, and lubricants. Perchloroethylene is a neurotoxin, meaning it is a poison that acts on the nervous system. The EPA also classifies it as a possible carcinogen. This is bad stuff. The great state of California is leading the charge and plans to eliminate all use of PERC by 2023. But that's a long way off. You can be exposed to perchloroethylene if you dry clean your clothes or if you use a laundromat that contains dry cleaning machines. Short-term exposure to high levels can affect the central nervous system, and there is some evidence that it is associated with esophageal cancer, cervical cancer, and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Long-term exposure of PERC can contribute to memory loss, confusion, and cracked skin. If you're getting your carpet cleaned or if you're taking your clothes to the dry cleaner, use an eco-friendly dry cleaners that is 100% perk-free operation. Other safe methods of dry cleaning are hydrocarbon dry cleaning or called wet cleaning. Even minor exposure to perchloroethylene can cause irritation to the eyes, skin, respiratory system, along with other unpleasant symptoms like nausea, dizziness, and headaches. If you see the word perchloroethylene or PERC or tetrachloroethylene on a label, avoid it. I will put a list of these chemicals on my website so you can go back and reference these. Read ingredient labels carefully and always avoid products like chemical spot removers or polishes that use PERC. Choose natural formulas instead. The third toxin I want to mention today is called triclosan. Triclosan is an ingredient added to many consumer products intended to reduce or prevent bacterial contamination. It is added to some antibacterial soaps, body washes, toothpaste, and some cosmetics. It can also be found in clothing, kitchenware, furniture, and toys, products that are not regulated by the FDA. Some short-term studies have shown that exposure to high doses of triclosan is associated with a decrease in the levels of some thyroid hormones. Other studies have shown that triclosan might contribute to the development of antibiotic-resistant germs and be harmful to the immune system. In September 2016, the FDA announced that effective September 2017, it would prohibit the sale of consumer antiseptic washes containing triclosan due to FDA findings. Triclosan is still a common ingredient in soaps, shampoos, deodorants, toothpaste, mouthwashes, cleaning supplies, and pesticides. It is also part of many consumer products like kitchen utensils, toys, trash bags, and bedding. By the year 2000, triclosan was found in 75% of liquid soaps and 29% of bar soaps. And as of 2014, triclosan was used in more than 2,000 consumer products. Triclosan is also associated with a higher risk of food allergy. So now, due to the public pressure, many major manufacturers have quietly begun making their products without triclosan. But some antibacterial soaps may use triclosan's cousin, which is called triclocarbon, in place of triclosan. You don't want either one of those in your soap. My recommendations are: check the label. Take a moment to read the ingredient list. Triclosan is required to be listed on the label, so if triclosan is in there, it should say so. Be very wary of liquid soaps. Many of these dispensable soaps are brimming with triclosan. Triclosan can also be found in makeup, facial tissues, and even things like garbage bags. Go with all natural products. Once again, you can look for triclosan-free personal care products through the Environmental Working Group's website. Just go to ewg.org. Last but not least, skip all those germ-killing products. If the label says germ-killing or antibacterial, chances are it contains triclosan. Keep an eye out for its toxic cousin, triclocarbon. Some researchers believe this compound is another harmful hormone disruptor. The last thing I want to mention is autoimmune disease. If you're not familiar with autoimmune disease, it is a disease where your immune system goes rogue and begins attacking your own tissue. And unfortunately, autoimmune disease is on the rise. Underlying causes of autoimmune disease can be unhealthy gut, gluten, and chemical toxins. Autoimmune disease can be the most difficult disease to diagnose because it's not immediately obvious that someone is suffering from an autoimmune disease. Many factors, including age, sex, and genetics, can contribute to autoimmunity. But extrinsic factors, such as drugs, chemicals, and other environmental factors, can also act as important initiators. So, if you have an autoimmune disease, it is essential to keep those outside toxins to a minimum. Protect yourself. Before you use a product, read the label carefully and pay attention to any warnings on the label. Also, use proper ventilation by getting fresh air into your home or workplace when using any kind of chemicals. Wear protective gloves, especially when you're using household cleaning products. Also, I recommend using a mask when using any household cleaner. Avoid using all toxic substances, and if that's not possible, choose safe products. For example, water-based paints are less toxic than oil-based paints. Avoid drinking water that may contain harmful substances like lead. You can reduce the amount of lead in your water by using cold water, or filters can take out some of the chemicals from drinking water. Make sure you have no asbestos in your home. Many studies have linked asbestos exposure to autoimmune disease. For example, in a small mining town called Libby, Montana, asbestos exposure came from the mining of a mineral called vermiculite, which is used for insulation and fireproofing. The mineral was mined extensively from the 1920s to 1990, and it was laced with toxic asbestos. Not only did the miners get exposed, the mining operations released asbestos into the air and contaminated the mine, the processing sites, and many buildings and properties in Libby, Montana. Studies now show that people who live in Libby, Montana have an increased prevalence of autoimmune disease and other significant health problems. Asbestos was banned in 1977, so most products made today do not contain asbestos. But some houses built between 1930 and 1950 may have asbestos as insulation. Asbestos can also be present in textured paint and patching compounds used on the wall or ceiling, walls and floors, surrounding wood-burning stoves may be protected with asbestos paper. Hot water and steam pipes in older houses may be coated with an asbestos material. It's not possible to identify asbestos just by looking at it. It can only be positively identified by a person trained in fiber identification with a special polarized light microscope. There are certified labs throughout the country that can help identify asbestos in building materials. By the way, never try to take asbestos samples yourself. You don't want to risk exposure to the airborne asbestos fibers by disturbing them. Asbestos fibers can have serious effects on your health if you inhale them. Well, that's it for today's podcast. I hope all this information helps you live a long and healthy life, because that is my number one goal, to keep you healthy and happy. In addition to my plant-based recipes and podcasts to keep you healthy, I also now sell the natural food product, vegan CBD oil from hemp. If you're not familiar with CBD oil, its official name is cannabidiol, and people all over the world are discovering that this natural food product is helping them with anxiety, depression, chronic pain, arthritis, migraines, and even addiction. You can learn more about CBD oil from hemp and how it can possibly help you on my website at ordinaryvegan.net. Please subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a thing. And if you get a minute, please leave a review on iTunes or Spotify. Also, join us on facebook.com/ordinaryvegan. We have a large community of over 315,000 health and wellness members, and I share everything on that Facebook page. So please come on over. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Till next time.
Thanks for joining our plant-based community today. Together, we can accomplish great things. Please subscribe so you don't miss any of Ordinary Vegan's recipes and plant-based tips. If you have any questions or feedback, email us at questions@ordinaryvegan.net. Until next time.